This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. You are listening to Judging Megan with your host, Megan Judge. Today, if you're watching me on YouTube, I am wearing my glasses, which, you know, I'm super vain and I hate. But I have to be able to read. Also, for my listeners, my voice is very raspy. I did not have an episode come out last week, which I hate because I always like to have a weekly episode. I barely missed an episode in 3+ years. But no voice, which made my husband very, very happy. He didn't have to listen to me scream at my children. I also have an ear infection. It will not go away. I've been on antibiotics. Somebody please send help. This is torture. Not being able to have hearing and your ear blocked is no bueno. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Today, I am so excited to have the coolest guest ever. I'm so interested in what he's about to talk about. My guest today is, and if I butcher his name, we've already talked about it. He's Dutch. I'm American. I have the most annoying accent on the planet. It's Mekiel Klerk, but he said that's wrong. But I don't want to try and say it the way he said it because then I'll embarrass myself. He is a licensed therapist and an expert on dreams. He's the author of Dream Guidance and the founder of the Jung Platform, an online space offering psychological and spiritual perspectives. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on. We've all been put here for a reason, and we all deserve acceptance.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
I'm a trauma survivor from a really young age, and I have been diagnosed with complex PTSD in the past few years. I've been surrounded by death and abuse much of my life. I've been dragged through the mud, and I've been to the point of not wanting to go on anymore. Through my interviews with other survivors, I've learned that there is a way out. From recovering to surviving and thriving, we all have the strength to come out the other side.
You are listening to Judging Megan.
Thank you, Megan. It's a pleasure to be here today with you. I've been looking forward to it.
Are you mad that I didn't pronounce your name correctly? Let's get that out of the way.
No. When I came 20 years ago to the U.S., and almost from the beginning, I quickly learned that it's going to be very hard for people to pronounce Mekiel. And
Mekiel.
So I'm not married to the right pronunciation of my name, and I'm already happy that if a person or you make an effort in that direction, and I'm going, oh, me,
then you right. feel happy. Okay,
yeah.
Let's ask. Let me start here. Where are you living now?
In Mexico City.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a okay. Beautiful city.
Is it, how's the weather right now? Nice?
Fantastic. I'm waiting for, I'm always used that fall will come, but fall isn't coming. It remains between 70 and 80 year around.
I know.
Yeah.
I live in Southern California. I'm an East Coast, Washington, D.C. girl originally. And sometimes, I don't know if you're like this, but I do miss the seasons. I don't miss the cold. Do you miss the cold?
No, I don't miss the cold. And I'm only since March this year here, so only 7 months. So on this moment, I'm not missing anything.
Okay. Well, let's get into your story because I find this fascinating. And this is probably going to be an episode where I'm like, let me tell you about this dream. And I'm sure when people meet you, you probably get bombarded because of what you do. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, that is. And for in this episode, you're very welcome to share a dream. It would be fun to bring it in. Yes.
Okay. I have maybe a couple that I've thought about that I want to talk to you about. So let's start with where you're from originally, which we mentioned in the beginning. And tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into what you're doing now.
Yeah. So actually, I was born in South Africa, And my mom is from Amsterdam. So at the age when I was four, we moved to the Netherlands. And I lived there for a pretty long time, 20 years, something like that. And I really got interested in dreams when I was stuck in my life. So in my early 20s, I was in a pit, a dark pit of not knowing what to do with my life. I had a deep unresolved grief from my father who died when I was 10. And we as a culture and family didn't know how to deal with emotions, which the Dutch culture in general isn't overly favorable towards a feeling life. It has developed thinking better. And I, by some fortunate chance, stumbled upon the works of Carl Jung, who wrote extensively about dreams. And then I started to look at my own dreams, and at once a flood of dreams started coming in, describing where I was in my life and very unhelpful behaviors I was doing that was it highlighting, but also started giving direction of where I could go. And I had a sense that I reconnected with my father on the other side, and I got a sense of life after death, and that really opened up my life. And so dreams helped me out of the dark pit to a more colorful life. And I've just been hanging on that dream thread ever since.
Well, let me just say, I'm very, very sorry to hear about your dad. I also lost my father when I was 13. Mm. So I think that I'm sure you can explain this to me, but I hold my dreams very tightly to myself, because when I go to bed each night, I've lost my best friend. I've lost multiple people in my life. I am like, oh, please let me dream about them. Because our dreams, right, are our one connection to seeing our loved ones again. Because we can't see them. And so when I am lucky enough to have those dreams, I don't know if you agree with this. It's kind of one of those things where you're like, please don't let me wake up, as long as it's a good dream, right? Do you have that?
Yeah, I've learned through my own dreams and with many people I've worked with and exploring it, that it feels like there are two types of dreams where the ancestors or deceased loved ones seems to appear. One is a little bit more a regular dream where I am in the supermarket and somehow my dad walks by or something to that extent, where I think it's more a symbol, where the dream uses my father as a symbol for fathering or something to that extent. And then there are other dreams that feel more distinct, that I take as a visitation by my father or the loved ones, and that I have a sense, oh, this was a real connection with my father. And I've had dreams in which I was lucid enough to know, oh, this is my good friend so-and-so who died. And then I could ask him, what is it like to be on the other side? What was it like dying? And all kinds of questions. And he gave really interesting answers to that.
So what do you believe? Do you believe that believe that there is an afterlife? Do you believe that the dreams are connected to the afterlife?
Yeah, it's of course it's in my experience there is an other world, a world that is not like how I grew up with. There's after you die you go to paradise, and paradise is in some unknown destination. But actually there's an world coexisting to this world, and in that world, or in those worlds, the ancestors, the deceased loved ones, continue to live at least for a while. And and we can meet them in our dreams, which bridges this world and the world of the dead. And I do think that they also can be with us right now, but that they're just, let's say, on another frequency that is a little harder to access to. But I think many of us has felt a sense of, oh, feels like the energy of grandpa, or this feels like my husband or wife. And so I think they're around, and I actually even think that, as what I saw in my own life, that life became so much better by connecting to the deceased's loved ones, one, that there's a sense of an afterlife and that this life has purpose and meaning and there's some goal to it, but also for feeling some support in this world, that it's not all upon me. I sometimes go into a, I can go somewhere and have the sense of support by my father or other deceased loved ones.
Do you think that, so do you believe that in dreams, some people, because you just kind of touched on this, but I want to clarify, I have a lot of lists. I talk a lot about grief and loss on the podcast. Do you think that some people are not like in that dimension? So for example, I lost my sister very young. I'm using myself as an example because I want you to know I enjoy talking about myself, and that's partially why I have a podcast. All my listeners know that. I talk about myself a lot. It's a lot of fun. But I'm all kidding aside, I lost my sister very young. I was 2. She was 9 months. And I never dream about her, ever, ever, ever. But I did as a child. My parents sent me to a therapist when I was probably like 10, 11 years old, because I would have a reoccurring dream, a traumatic reoccurring dream, that I picked my sister up out of her crib and I walked down the hallway and I flushed her down the toilet. And I would wake up in hysterics. Like, you know, this was a reoccurring dream for many years. I started therapy. I don't have the dream anymore. I don't ever dream about her. What would you say that means?
Well,
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, but what I can say is that the feeling response was one of fear and horror when you shared that. Like, oh, this feels like somehow you felt responsible for the death, and as if you had done something for her to, that you discarded her, and that even now gives me some goosebumps, and that feels as trauma, and that the dream repeats is almost always a sign of something is unresolved, and it just keeps looping. And actually, nightmares and these trauma dreams are very workable, even by just writing it down. That helps. But so. This is more a trauma dream, signifying this underlying issue of feeling that you caused this to happen in some sense, and I'm happy you worked on it and that it disappeared. So that means that part is at least worked through, and I would also completely put that in a completely different category. This is more symbolic than this feels like a visitation from sis or grandma or dad or
so it was symbolic. I mean, it definitely was a traumatic. I found her. I mean, I didn't find her. My mom found her, but you know, I was so young. Our brains can't.
Yeah.
Our brains cannot comprehend or grasp loss like that and traumatic loss. So it kind of makes sense why that I would have that dream. And thankfully, I no longer have it. But then it's as if all connection to her has been lost all these years. Never. So what does that mean? If you just lose somebody and then they're in a different dimension. I like to say that they're just in a room next door, because that's my way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that there are often ways that you can see if you can reestablish the connection further. Maybe she shows up in a dream and you would not recognize her. That's another option. But you could talk to her and say, "Hey, sis, I feel we haven't the connection hasn't been as strong as I would like it to be, and." If you want to show up in a dream, it would be fantastic. If I can feel your presence around me, that would be also beautiful. Maybe if you're around, show up right now, that I can see if I can feel a shift in the energy and can start noticing what you actually feel like, because I might have forgotten what your energy feels like. And so that way, you could see if you could rekindle a kind of connection to her, and also give it a bit of time. It's very seldom I've seen people ask the dream a question, or I would love to have a message, or see my deceased loved one, and that specific request, like seeing the loved one, very seldom works as a dream question. But if you would ask your dream, for example, sister, give me a dream with a message of something you want to tell me, then you might get a profound dream. And that's another way that she could talk to you.
So let me ask you. So if I were a client coming in, or like I'm coming to see you, are there things that you tell your patients or people that maybe, I'm assuming a lot of people come to you after going through some sort of loss, trying to tap into that? What do you say to people if you are trying to have dream about somebody, or you're trying to, is there like a process that you tell people to do?
Yeah. And the best thing is some form of what I call a ritual. And a ritual is a combination of focus, attention, intention, and that you make some offering. So if in your case, maybe because we talk about it today and we've already spent some time on it, and you have the time, then I would say, well, tonight maybe ask your sister if she has a message for you. And then make sure you write down the question. So write down one question at a time. Maybe light a candle. Talk for a couple of minutes to her, just as if she can hear you. Maybe she can. And then just say, I miss you. I want, would like to connect. And just whatever is on your in your heart. And some people make a little drawing. You could, any form of ritual works. As long as you, it's almost like the other side is looking and sees by the amount of heart that is involved, the amount of effort that you do, it responds to that. So if you do a little bit more, even if you just walk around and find a little object that reminds you of her, of what you wish, then that in itself heightens the likelihood that there will be a dream that gives a message from her to you. So it's a ritual. Write down the question, meditate before you fall asleep on it, and it all, if it comes from a real desire, it has a very high likelihood of triggering a dream response.
And do you, so say you do all of those things, but say you're a really heavy sleeper, so you don't remember your dreams. What do you say to people that, you know, can't remember? I don't really remember my dreams. It's very rare now that I can have a dream and really remember it. What do you tell people?
Well, all the research shows, actually, if you put a notebook next to your bed with a pen, and before you go to bed, say, dream, I would love to have a dream, and if you come, I will write you down, and you, even if you wake up and you don't exactly know, but you feel, oh, I feel a bit tension in my stomach, or I feel so light, and you say, I feel light, and I could feel it in my shoulders. And then you start this kind of communication with the dream, and then within a week you will have 1, 2, 3 dreams, and dreams come back. They very much respond to interest.
Really?
Yeah.
So, okay. So when you wake up in the morning, I'm assuming you believe in writing down your dream?
Oh, I it's not only I believe in it, I know it is the fact. Research shows that your short-term memory goes offline at night. That's why you don't know anything about that 6, 7, 8 hours, or practically nothing. And that short-term memory kicks back online when you wake up. So if you don't write it down, most of them evaporate. It has nothing to do with intelligence or willpower, or deep sleep is also only marginally a real influence on it. You just have to get in a habit, and the habit of writing it down. And then you'll have several dreams a week, and hope, and most of the time, if you see, hey, this really is helpful, you get more interested, and you get think, oh, this is great to have some form of a support system at night.
What about the difference between a bad dream? Like, you're somebody that has bad dreams. You're like, I don't want to have a bad dream.
Yeah.
How do you differentiate or deal with that?
Yeah, great question. And sometimes people come to me and say, oh, I have nightmares. How do I get rid of it? I actually don't want to dream. Mm-hmm. And a very legitimate question. But a nightmare is maybe something like a fever. It's a symptom. And it's the symptom that something is in you, is trying to warn you. So it's the alarm system that goes off. And you don't want to dismantle the alarm system, which also is not really possible. But you want to figure out what is the cause that makes this alarm system go off. Such as in your case, the dream of your sister was actually the alarm system suggesting, hey, here's unresolved trauma, and you're better off working on that, which you did. And if you don't, you can medicate it sometimes to a certain extent, or ignore it, which I did with the death of my father for a long time, which clearly brought me right into the dark pit. So ignoring nightmares is actually not a really good idea. And you want to turn towards it and see, what is it that what does this dream try to communicate to me? It's not, there's no evil intention behind it. It's not out there to punish you. It's just saying something, the burglar is breaking in. Something wants to connect to you that you that you see as scary, and you push it out. And so how can you bring it in? And even just writing to the burglar, and then have the burglar write back to you, you will see these dreams start changing, and nightmares can dissolve over time.
I think it's so interesting that I do dream quite a bit. Sometimes I don't, like if I have to take, like for example, I've been sick, so I keep taking NyQuil, so I don't remember anything. But I think it's funny sometimes how our dreams, like I'll give another example. I'll sometimes wake up, or my husband will, and we've been together for a long time, but I'll be like, I can't stand you. Last night I had a dream that you were cheating on me. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Because I know, well, I don't know for sure. I'm not with him 24 hours a day, but we both have this like running thing where we're like, I know that this is happening. And it's like the most ridiculous thing ever. Why do people dream about that?
That's great, and I think you're definitely not the only one. You can look at it two ways. One is the more external, objective, outside world way, that you feel that either literally he's cheating, which sometimes dreams will sometimes inform a person, but most of the time it's not. But maybe you feel he's really engaged in a hobby. And you feel you experience that a bit as cheating. So that is one possible variation. Another it's more literally to do with the relationship. If it could also be an internal dynamic, that there's something, the masculine side or something you associate with your husband, is with its attention somewhere else, or there's some form of internal cheating going on. You're not literally cheating, but you're maybe not paying attention to something that would you should pay attention to or would benefit from. So either it's not unlike, let's say I would dream that my sister is pregnant. One is check, is she really pregnant? No. Then it's, oh, something in me is pregnant. And then I can just start work figuring out what would be pregnant. Is there a new project that I'm working on? Did I have an idea that is in the inception phase? something to that extent. So then look at it symbolically. What would cheating symbolically mean, and what might be going on inside of you?
You know what's interesting right now? Right as you're speaking, because my phone's below me, my husband called me. I am wondering what this means, and I will get to the bottom of it.
He just wanted to make sure that.
He and Ronald, I hope you're listening when this episode comes out, because I'm on to you. Okay, I want to ask one other question about another dream that I had, and then I want to talk about more about your book.
Well, what also comes up is. How do you deal with a sense of jealousy?
I'm joking. I think we're all jealous people, right?
Till a certain extent. And as I'm now living in Mexico City, I see that jealousy here is far more accepted as part of the culture. People mm-hmm. are openly jealous, and they are way more expressive than in the Netherlands, where. Well, jealousy is actually, you shouldn't be jealous, and it's a sign of weakness, and you're insecure. And here it's seen through a different lens. But even a dream like yours could point to how do you deal with the sense of jealousy, and what does jealousy, what's the function of jealousy? And I've been thinking about it a lot since I have been here. And I've seen that jealousy also has to do with you can't really control another person. In jealousy, you want to possess them. You have to learn that they are their own person, that out of free will be with you or not. And that's a really difficult place to deal with. But that is where one thing where jealousy brings a person is accepting the free will of another person and finding a way to sustain that tension.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. This time of year is the worst. I feel like I can't do anything, and I can't enjoy my dinner because I can't taste my food, and I can't work out because I feel tired and distracted. I can't even feel like I can host this show because my voice sounds like a duck. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D, designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. I feel like I've been using Claritin D for probably a few months now, and I have really noticed a difference. I can work out. I'm not feeling like my eyes are watering and my nose is all stuffed up. I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I think it also has to do, and this is just me, like, I think I'm a licensed therapist, and by no means am I, but I think I have issues about abandonment because I've gone through so much loss and losing my dad. And like, you know, thankfully I'm very happily married, unless my dreams are correct. And so I think that sometimes I live in fear.
Yeah.
Of like loss of losing somebody that I care about so much, you know? And so right. I think that all of this stuff pieces together. But I also want to touch on what you talked about in the beginning, about the cultural differences and what you just touched on right now, like in the Mexican culture, they're very jealous. That's true. My husband's dad is, and I'm not saying his dad's jealous, but like that, mm-hmm. that side of the family, loud, like I'm Italian and Irish, like my background. The cultural difference is so interesting, but at the root of everything, and even being American, so women, we like to talk about everything, right? In the States, we're like, I want to complain about my kids. I want to tell you everything about my childhood. I want to mm-hmm. tell you about like what I'm doing this weekend. Whereas men have a really hard time with, you know, here at least, they talk about sports. It's like they push things down, right? So I asked my husband recently, he lost his mom about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and his best friend went out for drinks. And then they recently had another friend that lost his mom as well. And they came back and I said, well, how's everyone doing? Oh, they're doing okay. Well, what did you talk about? It's kind of like, can't get to the root of all of this stuff. So yeah. It's really sad to me. And I think that's why, and I talk a lot about like suicide prevention and suicide, that the rates for men, the loss of suicide rates are not the loss, but the suicide rates are the highest they've been. They're up by like 33% from 3 years ago, I believe, or 2 years ago. I just think that when you have an outlet like what you do, where you could maybe feel like dreams are an escape and a way to like process and a way to connect and kind of be free of like societal norms, I think it's so important. So I know that was a very long-winded thing to say, but I would love for you to touch on that.
Yeah, I agree. It's really sad that not only in the United States, also Western Europe, that those are at least two cultures I'm very familiar with, have a hard time dealing with grief and loss and pain and suffering, and males need to toughen up and that makes that represses it, and that. And I know from my own experience that it causes depression, and I could have spiraled into addiction and whatever else could follow from that. And because I could see starting to unfold, and luckily I found the dreams in my case. So it's great that you make a program like this where we can talk about pain and loss and suffering and finding different ways to engage and be with it. And it's surprisingly that just talking about it helps. You don't even
it's
know.
True.
You don't have to fix it. You don't need to solve it. Talking about loss helps. So even if the guys among themselves could talk about it, helpful. And indeed dreams is one mechanism, and there's many ways that people can do it, but it's one mechanism by which the psyche itself is digesting the experience. So even whether we know it or not, at night the therapist is at work, and it stores relevant information in our brain or psyche, and in the deep REM sleep the anxiety is very low. And in that state, it brings in painful experiences. We live through it, by which it loses some of the edge of the painful experience. And that's why a lot of pain we just digest at night. The extreme pain, like trauma, just doesn't get processed and needs more active engagement. But at night, the therapist is at work, and we have our own therapist within us. And we can proactively consult it at night, but also throughout the day. And if we could bring our own therapist with us in a conversation, And like indigenous cultures always do some form of a ritual. So if everyone would sit in the circle, light a candle, say one nice thing about your mom, one thing you miss, do that. That would make such a difference. And that would spark more. These little things would help us and would help us guys and also as the females. But in general, you would say females are better connected to their feeling life than males in Europe and North America.
Do you feel like with all of your experience that you are connected to, like, because you gave your father as an example, that you're connected to your father?
Yeah, I feel I'm reconnected with my dad, both in the dreams, and that I felt these were visitations, and that I got a sense, oh, here he is, and I feel his presence from time to time with me, and I feel I can ask him a question or say, Dad, I need your support a little bit now, and I feel he moves in, and it makes a world of a difference when you lose someone, as you know, and people listen, that it is such a massive heartbreak, and especially if you love deeply, I thought, how is it possible that other people can survive this, that they can stand this, because I couldn't, and I had no outlet. My family pretended as if nothing really happened, and we just go on.
That's like the worst thing you can do, too. I think that loss is so. Like I said, a lot of my listeners listen because I do talk a lot about grief and loss. But say you're in the beginning stages of it. And I have a friend that is, and I think about her often, and the heartbreak of loss, especially when you love that person and that person is your everything. I think that what you do is so important. And if these people can find a way, because all you really want to do when you lose someone that you love is connect. Have an answer, have something. And so this gives people some sort of hope. So I love it. I think it's so important.
Just to make it practical, if people have lost someone, ask a question as dad or mom, do you have a message for me? And then write that down and do your ritual. That is much better question than, oh, I would love to see you, mom. Because maybe it's not the right time, or maybe it wouldn't even really be good for you, but they will give you a message. And then even if you don't understand it, write it down, and some hours later in the day it might make sense, or you share it with a friend, and you say, hey, I had this dream, and what if my sister would have told me this? And then almost always someone will say, hey, how about if you look at it this way? You go like, oh yeah, that, and then it's like click, oh, that makes sense, and this undeniable, oh, that makes sense, and then you can learn something. And the strange thing is, because I've seen so many of these dreams, very often it has something to the extent as I am doing well, it's okay on this side. And I want to encourage you to don't forget to live your life and figure out how to deal with the heartbreak. And there are variations on that, but that's very often somewhat of a threat in the messages that people get.
Yeah, I think that I'm fortunate enough to have reoccurring. I have lost three very close people. My father, my sister, my best friend. And my best friend, I happen to dream about all the time because I feel like she's very close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were robbed of time. And I think you were robbed of time with your dad. I was robbed. But it is, I think it's beautiful to be able to tap into all of this stuff. And my one friend that lost her husband, I hope that I'm going to tell her if she doesn't listen to this, that she needs to read your book and also start doing these things. I'm going to start tonight. Can you tell me why you started the Jung platform? Tell me a little bit about that and your book, please.
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, I had a dream at night in which I was floating above the Lake of Zurich and see Carl Jung's house. And he's building a square concrete platform in the water attached to his yard. And I'm seeing all of that, and he's rearranging some beams, making it more enjoyable. And then it's almost like I watch a movie. It comes to a standstill, and then Jung and the platform disappear. And a voice behind me says, "Now you have to draw it, identical to how it was." And I think I can't draw, but there's a pencil at once in my hand, and I make a line. It's more straight than I think I can do, and I wake up. And I took that dream a little bit more symbolic. Instead of drawing, I thought, let me create a platform for psychology that is just like Jung, exploring the other worlds. So more a spiritual psychology, a psychology that takes into account our ancestors or other connections to be made. And so I started that first with a nonprofit in Utah. To my own surprise, hundreds of people showed up, and then I took that as a suggestion or signal of, well, let's put this also online. Again, people were interested in it, and so I continued to build it, and now it's a company that I mainly run with my sister, and it's healthy and vibrant and doing well, and most of the time providing a lot of joy to make, and it allows me also to think about what kind of programs do I like and do I like to share with people that, in the line of the conversation we had today, that help people connect to the other world and as a consequence live a more fulfilling life.
It's what you do is so important. I think along the lines of what you do and also mediums. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in mediums and they don't believe in psychics. I do, but not, it's not for everyone, and that's fine. But I think if we could get some kind of closure or like answers and do a practice like this, which I'm assuming could just be a daily practice that I'm actually going to start tonight, because I'm looking for some answers. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, of course. And we all do. And the wild thing is, one of the places answers can come is in our dreams. And almost any culture around the world has noticed this, whether it's the African shamans, Buddhism, the Dalai Lama talks about it, Hinduism, in Islam, in the Greek times of the Temple of Asclepius, where people would go even for physical healing, all the way to Harvard University that did the test on this method and saw that it worked in 2/3 of the people and 1/3 it didn't. So then they wondered why would it work with one group and not the other? And they noticed that people that ask a question of medical nature or that is emotionally relevant get answers. And the people that ask too abstract a question don't get an answer. So if I ask a question about what was my neighbor doing yesterday evening, the dream I think... The inner therapist might think, not really relevant to you. But if I ask a question, how can I be more loving to myself? What's one type of food that is good for me to eat? Or tell me something about the world after death. What is important to know about death? Can I connect with a loved one? Then the inner therapist or the great friend, like Rumi calls this phenomenon, is on standby to support us. And so... We all can access it. You don't even need to believe in it. People, I've had enough people said, I don't believe in any of this. No, that's okay. Be open enough. Do a test. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if it does work, you you have an answer. And so I want to encourage everyone
Why not try? What about dreams about conflict? So like, I'll give you an example. I had a bad falling out. My listeners know this, with a group of women, and they were pretty, continue to not be so nice. I have sometimes reoccurring dreams about them, about really like the pain that they cause me, or I don't know, like different things, like that they've done something really mean to me, and I wake up like more upset, and then I find out it isn't true. What does that mean? Like, why am I having these dreams?
Yeah, two things that anyone could as little guidelines of working with dreams. One is to ask the question, what is happening? So instead of what does this mean, what is happening? And then you get sometimes, I'm with a group of girls, and they say something mean, and I get really upset, and I close down, or I start fighting, or then you have a pattern of a dynamic. And then very often you can see, hey, this dynamic has been activated in me or needs some work. The other question is you could ask is, what is my experience? And then it is, I feel attacked. And I feel deeply attacked and misunderstood and hurt. And then you can figure out, how do I relate to this experience? So then you look outside, it's not really there. Oh, so the experience of being attacked and misunderstood is being activated in me, and I need to figure out a way of being with it. And so maybe, I'm make it too practical almost, but then I would tell myself, I see you, I know that you didn't intend to harm, or I notice you. Then I can give to myself what the outside world is not giving. Mm-hmm. And then I can be a father or mom to my own feelings, and that way be with them.
And learn to move on and get let it go. I mean, that's like a stage where I am in life with it.
Well, the moving on and letting go lies especially in you being able, or in this case, being able to be with the feeling of being attacked and misunderstood. Mm-hmm. and find a way. Let's say it's your own child. How would you be with your own child if they had those feelings? Arm around it, maybe you would drink a cup of tea together, you talk to it, and then you see that the work, that the moving on is actually by engaging with, and then it changes, and then actually moving on is happening because you dealt with the wound.
Yeah.
The old idea is that only the wound heals. So yeah. you have to deal with the wounding, and once that's healed, moving on has happened automatically.
Can you tell me, before we close, a little bit about your book and where people can find it?
Yeah, thank you for asking. Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, it's in most Barnes & Nobles physical stores in the United States. It's on, if you go to my website, machielklerk.com, my first and last name for in this.
And that's the correct pronunciation, everyone. There you go.
And there's a link also where you worldwide can buy the book, and there's several booksellers that send it to you without shipping cost.
And what is the book called for my listeners?
Yeah, thank you. It's Dream Guidance, Connecting to the Soul Through Dream Incubation. But Dream Guidance, then you will find it. Very fortunate Hay House has published it, so it's available in many places. And it's in a very it's a relatively short book, full of stories, practical examples that help people connect with the guiding center in the dream to help them on issues that are emotionally irrelevant. So it could be loss, but it could also be, how can I grow my business and serve people better? Whatever is relevant to your life. And I help people, how do you phrase the question, how do you do the ritual, how do you work with the dream, and that way give people a little tool to connect with the inner therapist guide that is always there.
And then where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and again, my name, or go to the Jung platform, J-U-N-G platform. There you find more, a little bit more, the all kinds of programs on my personal. You find more, more kind of.
Okay, perfect. It was such an honor to meet you and talk to you today. I'm going to start that ritual tonight. I have some answers I need right now, so I really appreciate your time. I know my listeners are going to love this. And everyone, thank you again for always supporting me. I appreciate your reviews on Apple. I'm really excited to announce that I'm almost 1 million downloads in just a little bit over 3 years. So that's kind of exciting for a girl that started this and was happy to have like 5 downloads in the beginning. And so I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing without all of you, and I so appreciate your support. And I love when you all reach out to me on Judging Megan, my Instagram. And I thank you for always listening. And in closing, be happy by making other people happy.
Judging Megan with Megan Judge.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.